You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. I'm excited. Are you excited, Brother Wolven?
Yeah.
Not as excited as I am.
He looks excited.
It's the ladies of Tim Talks. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Thank you.
They're back. They're in studio and they're looking lovely. Brother Wolven, not so lovely.
That's the only reason we agree to do this is because it's audio only, right, Denise?
That's right.
Surprise, we're taking video.
Yeah.
Hidden cameras
we're
everywhere.
We're out of here.
Exactly. Bye.
Well, welcome to Tim Talks this week with our ladies, Ruthie with me and Denise with Dan. And it's great to have you back. You are often asked for, ladies everywhere are asking
That's the truth.
To hear from you guys.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, okay. You guys.
Yeah, girls. You,
you
girls.
Guys.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us something. Give us your wisdom. Go ahead. Lay it on us.
Nothing like putting us on the spot.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
There's a famous man.
Oh,
we know
that's
what
from
said.
A listener.
There you go.
It is. All right. Well, this weekend, we are celebrating with the Wolvens the anniversary of their church.
Yeah.
Anniversary number?
30.
30. You're beginning 40 years in the ministry.
Beginning in August.
20 years here at North Columbus Baptist Church.
Beginning now.
And 40 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Add that all up, and you are really old, my friend.
We are very old.
You get 100.
40th anniversary is July.
You get 140 years of experience across the table.
And wow. We still have nothing.
Well, what I thought we'd talk about this week is what's been different in those years. Ruthie and I have been in ministry for, let's see, I'm 38, and you've been a lifetime.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, serving as a pastor's daughter and pastor's wife, and you've never had your own pastor of choosing.
No.
You've just been given the very best.
Assigned. I've been
the very
assigned.
Best, that's right. Let's talk about our ministries. Let's go back to when we first started in ministry. What did that look like for you guys?
Well, I was a lot thinner. I was 20 years old whenever we graduated from college. I turned 21 whenever I was in Cleveland.
Wow.
We were hired beginning of August, and August 28th is my birthday. So
yeah.
Yep.
And mine is? August 29th.
Absolutely.
That's right.
One and you day also, I think, were 20 or 21
yeah.
when you started
it's
in 21, right?
21.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So we were young, and we were impressionable, and we were really stupid.
Not impressive. Impressionable.
I don't think we're impressionable. We wanted to make an impression on everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, we did.
And the
big
impression was from Bob Folger, though, on you guys.
Yeah.
You guys had a big
impression.
That would
be an imprint.
A big thumb imprint and a shoe imprint.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we both started out in Cleveland at the Cleveland Baptist Church. That was our first taste of working in ministry anyways. And you were there a little bit before me.
Yeah, we met you. Didn't we meet you at Smite?
You did.
In Simcoe?
Yeah, we met a little bit before, but we didn't start working really in ministry till then.
Yeah.
So what was your impression of the ministry Cleveland Baptist Church when you first went? Obviously, you grew up there and knew a little more about it than I did. But when you came on staff, what was your impression of the ministry?
Well, my dad was a pastor, so I didn't have any high and lofty ideals of being in the ministry. I mean, I was anxious and excited and thrilled, but I absolutely understood it was all about work, and it was also all about how much work you do has a great influence on the results.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you work like it all depends on you, and you pray like it all depends on God. But I think for many people, that's just a saying.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled to be there. And, I mean, I prayed all 4 years in Bible college. I don't think I missed a day. You know, if I said this the other night, if I did miss any days not praying that the Lord would provide an opportunity to go back to Cleveland Baptist and serve, you could probably count the days on one hand out of 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed. I was in the largest church in Canada, Independent Baptist Church in Canada, growing up at Bethel Baptist Church in Simcoe. But Cleveland was just, you know, that and then some more. And I was a little overwhelmed. I was taken back and a little starstruck. Ruthie, what did you think?
Didn't you say the same thing, though, one time? Your youth group came down to visit and you prayed and told the Lord you'd like the privilege of working there?
Yeah, when I was 16, I stood in the back of the auditorium and prayed and said, Lord, if you'd let me work in a place like this, I'll never ask you for another thing. And so that prayer came true. And I did many times pray that the Lord would let me work in a ministry like that. So, yeah.
And you've never asked for another thing?
I've never asked for another thing. And the Lord
has never prayed against it.
I've never prayed. I just stopped praying right then. What was your impression? You grew up in that, and you saw that, and yeah. Denise as well. What was your impression of the church in that time?
I mean, for me, growing up in a pastor's home, I know a lot of times I hear people say, oh, it's so hard being a pastor's kid growing up. For me, I honestly just had such a wonderful experience. And I mean, I credit a lot of that to my parents, obviously, and to the Lord. But to this day, it's just such a wonderful church. When I go back home there, there are still ladies there that were teaching kindergarten when I was in kindergarten. And they're still working in Sunday school
Amen.
Classes. Yep. And to me, that's just such a huge blessing. So I think just growing up in it, you don't always know what you have until you are not part of it anymore, mm-hmm. right? So to me, it was just exciting and fun to be a part of and just amazing to see different things the Lord did through that time and people that were saved and the faithfulness of people in the church. So for me, I really just have wonderful, fond, exciting memories.
Yep, I do too. Yeah, my parents were there since 1966. So, and my mom even before that, before she got married. So yeah, it was great days there. Mm-hmm. I can remember wanting to join the choir when I was in like a senior in high school or, you know, yeah. when I came back from college yep. here and there, and they had a waiting list. I could not get into the choir.
Wow.
It was so many people that yeah. wanted in the church yeah. choir.
Well, that's amazing. They told some people there was a waiting list.
How many buses were there when we were running those buses? Was there 25?
No.
I think that we had was 16 routes, and so about 20 to 21
okay.
buses.
I think we had 25 buses because we had extras.
Yes.
Right, but yeah. 20, 21 routes, yeah. That was an amazing, amazing time. Yeah. And both very young. What did you girls think, what impression did you have of Dan and I coming in as young men? What errors did you see and what successes did you see of two young men in the ministry at that time?
Ruthie, do the errors. Denise, do the successes.
Yes. Wow, that's a big question.
I know. I don't think I've thought of any deterrence or anything.
I'll tell you this, too. I don't know. When we were there in Cleveland, we were all there together and some of our other friends working on staff together. I am telling you what. It made the ministry so fun.
Yeah.
We served the Lord. We were excited about serving the Lord. We worked so hard. But at the same time, we had so much fun that we all still look back on that with such great memories.
I remember one thing, though, that you said that.
Okay. I probably remember what you're talking about. I think when my husband first started out, you know, like preaching devotions for the bus meetings, or I think you preach on Wednesday night in church. He was trying to just be his pastor that he'd grown up under. He wasn't really being himself in his preaching, but he was just trying to kind of mimic his pastor, which I understand because that's what you're used to and that's what you'd grown up under. But I just said to him one night, I said, I think you need to just pray and ask the Lord to use you and preach from your heart and not be concerned about, you know, kind of mimicking somebody else's preaching. And I think he kind of took that to heart.
What she really said
and Denise said that, I always said, shut up, woman.
Well, what she really said was, that stunk. Why don't you try to learn how to preach? No, she said,
I got done.
And you said, that was good, Dr. Strachan, but I'd really like to hear Al Stone, is what she said. And I really had to take that to heart. And she was right. That's exactly it. And you know, you've heard the stories of me in Bible college and preacher boys class. I really just did not know. And that was great advice. And I think I found my stride after a while.
Well, it took me a while.
And after Ruth, you wrote several messages for me, it really helped.
Yes. I got him a subscription to Sword of the Lord. And
no. That's right.
Yes.
What about you, Denise?
What is the question?
The question is, okay. what things do you see in Dan as a, you know, 21-year-old young man coming into ministry? What were some of the things that you saw and said, wow, that's really good for a 21-year-old? Or what are some things that you say, man, he has some things to learn?
Oh, I can't even think of the things to learn. I don't know. I feel like it was a blur. When we first started, I was teaching in the Christian school in grade 3, and I was like so nervous. Could I even do this? So anyway, but it was just, I feel like we gauged our ministry according to school buildings. Okay, now we're in this building. Now we're over here at Rodone. Now we're over here at Holland Road. Now we're over here, in the trailers. So I can't think of, he didn't get that many opportunities to preach. He did, but here and there. But I thought he was Mr. Perfect.
Wow. Well, I worked with him, and I can tell you, he wasn't.
Now I look like a really bad wife.
If I have one wish, I wish that I would have actually been an adult.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we're still wishing that.
Several times he was not an adult.
Well, we learned together. We really did.
I learned for 2 years, and then I taught you.
I know. I was going to say.
With all of my immense expertise and wisdom.
You did have some expertise over me. You had 2 years in the ministry, which was huge.
Maybe three. You graduated in 84, right?
Yes.
3 years.
Oh, three.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what the difference
no,
was.
No, it was only two.
Yeah.
We got married in 81, and we graduated in 82.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
I think I did appreciate the fact, too, that, and I'm sure it was easier for you because my dad was the pastor and we were around him a lot, but I appreciated the fact that my husband was always willing to ask questions and try to learn and try to gain wisdom from somebody who was older and had experience in the ministry. And he was really open to that and wanting to learn. And I think that was really important.
You'll love this one. Before we got married, Denise's mom kept asking Denise, do you think our family is good enough to marry into a preacher's family? And it's like, do you think most preachers are good enough to marry into members' families that are tremendous Christians?
I will say my father-in-law, our pastor, Pastor Thompson, did have an open-door policy. We could go talk to him anytime we wanted. And I remember many times you went into his office and asked advice and sought counsel. And I did too. And I would think that that's maybe something that's changed a little bit in maybe some younger generation. I don't think they're so apt to ask the questions. Yeah. I think they ask Google.
Exactly.
Well,
I think they
know all the answers. Sorry. Well, they can look it up. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
And formulate their own opinion, and that's good enough.
Pastor Thompson was an excellent trainer.
He was.
Because, of course, whenever I went in and said, now, what do you want me to do? He said, what did I hire you for? To be the bus director. Then go be the bus director.
Yeah.
So that was my
mentoring.
Total mentoring and training.
That was it.
Yeah. A lot of times he would be very rough like that, but then if you really saw it.
Well, yeah. About 3 weeks later, I said, I got to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, drive with me.
Yeah.
He was going to Erie to preach a fellowship meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked the whole way there. Yeah. We're about 2 minutes away from walking into the church. He said, hey, hang on a second. So he's driving and looking at his New Testament.
Yeah.
Didn't even bring his Bible.
No.
He's looking at his New Testament. Yeah, that passage is pretty good. We got out of the car. He walks in just in time to go straight up on the platform.
Yeah.
And he preached on the Christian and philosophy. It was one of the deepest messages I've ever heard. And, of course, everybody's saying, that is so fantastic.
Yeah.
That was such a great message. And I'm thinking, you don't know how great. You know, yeah. He thumbed through his Bible and went, yeah, okay.
Often it was sitting in the restaurant and he'd pull out the napkin and a pen and he'd write down three or four words, a couple scripture passages, and go preach the most phenomenal message you ever heard in your life.
Yes.
He had an incredible ability. As we got into ministry 20 years ago, you come to Columbus and take a church that was struggling, had some big financial burdens, and you're now the pastor. And some changes take place then. Let me ask Denise, what were the biggest changes you saw from Dan the associate pastor to Dan the pastor?
Well, I guess because the buck stopped with him here, that was it. I mean, you can't blame anyone else. You cannot say, well, I'm just doing what the pastor says. You're it. So he had to just make all the decisions. I didn't know quite the gravity of the financial status here at the church. I knew it was not good, but I didn't quite know until some years later. So that's one thing. He really didn't share that burden that much with me. He probably knew I'd go, what?
Yeah.
What? We're doing what? So I knew it was rough, but I didn't quite know. And he shouldered that burden all on his own.
She said, Dan, I'll follow you like Sarah followed Abraham, but I just have to know that God's telling you to go.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie, on the other hand, said, I'm not going. You'll have to drag me.
Well, I'm really coming out looking good here tonight.
Oh, you know I'm teasing.
But I have often said that to him when he makes decisions. I say, look me in the eye and tell me that you prayed about this so much that you have no doubt that this is what God wants you to do. I've said that to him many times about decisions.
And I reminded him, Abraham was called the friend of God. Are you that?
What would you say, Ruthie, of the difference between me as associate, me as pastor?
I think that you feel a lot more pressure when you're the pastor, for sure. And the weight of the responsibility, I think, because like Denise said, you're the one now that has to bear the brunt of all the decisions and things like that. So I think it changed you a bit as far as you became a bit more serious-minded. And this is him serious-minded.
He's now more serious-minded.
You should have heard me before. Yuckity yuck yuck.
A little more stressed, probably.
Yeah, a little more stern.
Stressed.
Yeah.
I felt a huge pressure. Did you feel a pressure as the pastor? Did you as a pressure to succeed?
You know, this is the strangest thing. I never felt any financial pressure when the Lord led us here, and we were at least within a month of closing the doors financially. And then after we refinanced and got to the point that the church was giving to where we could refinance, then there's pressure for 17 more years. So.
Yeah. I felt a burden to, and we use the word succeed. I was a Canadian boy back in Canada and went back with the idea that I really believed God was going to have me build the largest independent Baptist church in Canada as a Canadian, because up until that point, other than my pastor, once he kind of passed from the scene, then the largest independent Baptist churches were pastored by Americans. And that really troubled me. I thought that's kind of a shame that we've had to have men from another country come in and build churches. And I never did build the largest independent Baptist church. And that still to this day kind of, that doesn't bother me, but maybe disappoints a little bit. I really thought the Lord would do that. And we've had a great work, and I praise the Lord for it and done some incredible things. But that's a pressure I put on myself. And I still don't know why the Lord didn't do that, but would have been cool. But done some other things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that might springboard. That church may still become the biggest. We
that's
don't know
true.
Before the Lord comes.
That's true.
Well, and I think if you look at the outreach of BPS, that's kind of going out to the whole country.
Right. I do look at, you know, and I guess you try to justify in your mind, but I thought, you know, we had a church of, you know, 250, 300 people in a city of at 20,000 when we started and 40,000 when we left. So, you know, proportionately, that's pretty good, but still not what I maybe thought. That 1,000 mark was on my mind. I thought if we could get 1,000, that would be really something. That'd be cool. But never accomplished that, but did what we could for the Lord. So did you have any marks like that, Dan? Any goals?
No. Whenever I started, I wanted to be known as a preacher, not a bus guy or a youth guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of shirked some of those, you know, titles or and things, you know, or you can't control what other people are going to call you unless it's bad names.
Yeah.
But, that was my only thing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, time's flying by, and we've still got a lot of ministry left. And maybe what we'll do is on Wednesday we'll take a look at maybe what the Lord would have in the next few years, some things that we'd still like to see and do and accomplish. Maybe take a look at where young men are at today and what we see there and maybe where they're headed and some of our prayers and aspirations for younger guys. We can maybe look at that on Friday or something. But it has been awesome serving the Lord.
Amen.
Together as husband and wife.
Amen.
And as friends all Amen. These years. And I will say that without good friends and a great wife, ministry can be hard.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
It can be hard. But it's been easy because I've had a great wife and awesome friends. And having great staff. I mean, we've had some guys work with us, ladies work with us that have been phenomenal. And I've loved the ministry. Loved it. It has been nothing but a joy. You erase those hardships from your memory. And you remember the good times. So for the time that we've had, it's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. Not me. I still remember the first day you came in my office.
The happiest day of your life.
A 30-second warning.
A 30-second preparation.
Here he is.
That's all you need.
It's all yours.
If you'd had more, you would have run out screaming. He knew right well. Honey, what do you want to say?
I didn't know you were throwing it over to me.
It's to you.
No, I would agree. I would agree. It's important, I think, to keep your marriage strong in the ministry for sure. And I think people have to realize, too, just because you're in the ministry doesn't mean you're not going to have even personal struggles sometimes. And I think it's important to realize that and important to reach out if you need help and you need encouragement. I think sometimes if you're in the ministry, you almost feel embarrassed that you might need help or you might need encouragement. But I think it's really important to be willing to reach out for help if you feel that way to friends and to your family and get that encouragement that you need and you know, let the Lord help you that way. And I agree, the ministry has been a huge joy.
And ministry friends really help during the times that are lean or the times that you go through really hardships. People that leave over seemingly nothing or just being shallow or whatever it is, or they're just not committed to the ministry. And so it really does help to have ministry friends. And the girls that are out there, ladies that are out there, you can always reach out to Ruthie or I, and we'll be a friend to you.
Absolutely.
You get the last word, Brother Wolven.
You're right. It is tough when you don't have a good marriage and you don't have good friends.
And that's Tim Talks. Thanks for tuning in
today.
And he's out of the ministry.
Denise rebuttal. Yes.
Ditto.
No, if my friends weren't wimps and cried at the drop of a hat, they'd be good.
Steve. Oh. Well, from Bearing Precious Seed and the Canadian Gospel Project, this is Al Stone with his lovely wife,
Ruthie,
on the other side of the mic today.
Dan Wolven and my wonderful wife,
Denise.
There you go. That's Tim Talks for today. We're going to be back on Wednesday. We're going to look over some years of ministry, try to give you some insight, some helpful tips, and maybe laugh a little along the way. This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great day. We'll see you on Wednesday.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.